WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning. And what a week. Oh, I know what I did Friday night. It just dawned on me. I went to the movies. That's what I was doing when I got that press release. I was heading into the movies. So I was here late, left here at like 6:30 p.m. and went right to the movie theater and saw Saturday Night, the movie about the 90 minutes leading up to the premiere of the first episode of Saturday Night Live. And I liked it. I thought it was a very good movie. I read some reviews of it that thought it was great, and I read some reviews of it that didn't love it. And most of the people that didn't love it said it was, you know, a little bit too loose with the facts, that it was too frenetic in its pace, but I'm sure it was frenetic leading up to the premiere of the show, but there were a lot of things that I think were over-dramatized. I think, you know, knowing a little bit about the history of SNL, having read books about it and seen documentaries about it, I think some of it was some dramatic license, but it still was a very well-done movie. And the performances were pretty good. There was some criticism that, Belushi was too one-dimensional. And even Chevy Chase too one-dimensional, like Chevy's snarky and self-absorbed. Belushi's wild and unpredictable, like, but that's kind of who they were in broad strokes anyway. But it was, I thought it was a great performance by the actor who played Lorne Michaels. And my big fear that the comedy wouldn't translate didn't hold true. In fact, there were times that I thought some of the actors playing the cast members, I thought I was actually seeing young versions of the cast members. The Dan Aykroyd, the Garrett Morris, which I believe Garrett Morris was played by his actual son. I'm going to look that up to be sure. Because I know his last name was Morris, and he looked just like him, and he sounded just like him. Nah, it's looking it up. It's not giving me what I need. So I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure. It was a well-done film. It was not so good at the box office, though. Came in number 7 for the weekend. Which I guess is probably a good finish for that movie. I don't think it was, it's more of an awards type movie than it is a, you know, people going to run out to the theater to see it movie. It'll have a big life on streaming. But it's the kind of movie that they put out in the theaters to gain some award buzz. But that, you know, that it'll be on streaming pretty quickly, I would assume. But the real big story of the weekend when it comes to movies, Terrifier 3 was the number one movie at the box office throughout the weekend. Beat out The Wild Robot. Beat out Joker, the sequel to Joker, Folie à Deux, which is not getting very good reviews. It's being called Folie à Deux by some people. No, it's not. I just made that up. I'm calling it Folie à Deux. And then Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, which is still the number four movie in the country, despite the fact that it's now available on demand. So rather than spending, you know, $30 for two people to go out and see it at the theater, you could spend $20 to rent it at home, but people are still going out to the theaters to go see it. But Terrifier 3, if you are not familiar with the Terrifier franchise, I'm a big fan. Art the Clown is the most sadistic of all the movie slashers. It's not even a slasher film. I wouldn't even qualify it as that because that implies some degree of dramatic tension. These are just outright gore fests. But in a good way, if you're a fan of that kind of thing. So Art the Clown made his debut in a film called All Hallows Eve, which was a bunch of different segments, and he made his debut in one of those segments. Then they made the first Terrifier movie to be a feature length about him. Terrifier 2 kind of expanded some of that, and it's really with these movies, it's about the kills, the creative kills for Art the Clown. But then 2 introduced some mythology to it. And I haven't had a chance to see 3 yet, but it's getting mixed reviews by people who are hardcore Terrifier fans. But it was still the number one movie at the box office. And that's pretty good for an independent film that only cost a couple of million to make. There already were plans for Terrifier 4 anyway, because the writer-director has this whole storyline planned out. But I think the key here is that they could make these bigger budget movies now because of the popularity, but I don't think they're going to. After the success of 2, they could have made 3 a bigger budget film, but they didn't. They stuck with the way they'd been making these films all along and the way that the fans appreciated them, and I bet you they'll do the same thing with Terrifier 4. So you're probably thinking to yourself, well, I'm looking for a new horror movie to watch with the kids for Halloween. That's not this. Although there are people bringing their kids to see Terrifier 3. But I would just warn you, you might want to watch the first one without the kids first before you decide if you're going to let them watch it. Because it only gets worse from there in terms of the blood and gore and guts and all of that. Now, the thing is it's so over the top. It's almost cartoonish. So I actually find it to be less unnerving. The only thing I really turn away from in a gory horror film is just anything to do with the eye. If they're sticking something in somebody's eye or ripping out somebody's eye, actually ripping out the eye doesn't bother me as much, but sticking something in the eye kind of gets to me. I can't watch like a needle going into somebody's eye. That just kind of makes me cringe. But anything else I can deal with just fine. And some of the Terrifier kills didn't really have me squeamish because, again, it's kind of almost cartoonish. But I was like, oh, that's rough. The bedroom scene in Terrifier 2, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. And then I guess the opening scene of Terrifier 3 has people actually walking out of the theater. So they've got all of these folks that are, you know, coming into the theater and to see this movie and making it the number one film in the box office, but they're not staying past the first 10 minutes or so. All right, we got a call coming in on the VIP line. Let's see what that's all about, because I don't think I have anybody scheduled. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. I got a call from Brian Thomas. This is Martin Bentz. I'm the outreach coordinator for the Islamic Society of Southeastern Mass. So I'm not sure if this was related. This is the number he gave me, so I'm sorry if I'm interrupting the program.
Well, he'll be on later on this afternoon. He's going to be on after 12:15.
Okay, well, I'll try and call him directly and see what he'd like to do. Sorry to interrupt your program.
No problem at all. Have a great day.
Okay. You're right. Bye-bye.
And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500. Maybe you saw Terrifier 3. And you want to offer up, you know, a spoiler-free review. I know there's some cameos in it. I know there's some callbacks to previous films. But if you want to mention that, you can. And if you saw Saturday Night, I'd be interested in getting your thoughts, especially if you're an SNL fan. I don't know if Phil Devitt's going to have a chance to see the film now that he's on vacation for a couple days, but I'm hoping when he comes back on Wednesday, if he has seen it, we can discuss it, because he and I are big-time SNL fans, which this week's SNL was pretty good, too. Ariana Grande, very funny. But the film has comedic moments. It has like some rehearsals of some sketches. It has the jokes that those folks would have been making to each other. Michael O'Donohue comes across as the smarmy, smart ass that he is. And that was probably my favorite character in the film. So it was pretty well done in that regard. And then, spoiler alert, because it does end with the first sketch of SNL. So it is the 90 minutes leading up to going on air, but they do reenact the very first sketch. Which, if you remember, is the Wolverines. That's all that I'll say. And then I was driving out to North Andover on Saturday afternoon, and I drove by a building, an office building, and said Wolverine, whatever, maybe it was Wolverine boots, I don't know. But it said Wolverine, and I was like, Wolverine. So it was already sticking in my head. But anyway, you might like that film if you are an SNL fan. You might also want to wait for it to come out on streaming. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. We also have a new contest for you at WBSM.com and on the app. We are giving away tickets this week to see Lawrence the Band. So it's a family, Clyde and Gracie Lawrence, brother and sister duo, and some of their friends have a band where they play what is called soul pop. And it is really catchy, upbeat stuff, and I think you will like it. Someone in your life is probably a Lawrence fan, so let them know about the contest, and we'll be giving away tickets all this week. As I was saying earlier, it's a chance to see what I think is going to be one of the next big groups while they're still playing intimate venues like MGM Music Hall at Fenway. And then we'll have more tickets to give away in the coming weeks as well, including a country superstar coming up in a few weeks. I'll just tease it with that because we've got plenty of tickets to give away thanks to our friends at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. And I actually went over there and tried some things on Friday, picked up my Rackhouse Club bottle of the month. Very good stuff. And I can tell you they're having a special Halloween tasting. So in addition to the big fall tasting that's happening, in November, on Friday the 25th, they're having a special Halloween tasting from 4 to 6 p.m. I'm going to be over there broadcasting live, and we're going to be sampling some spooky stuff. And if you are a collector of the Harridan Vodka, the Paranormal Reserve, they've got two of the Paranormal Reserve available over there. They have the Annabelle edition, which was aged right next to Annabelle the doll in the Warren's Museum in Monroe, Connecticut. And then they also have the Haunted Hotel edition, which spent time at a haunted hotel before arriving at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And now you can take it home with whatever may be attached to it. So if you are a Harridan fan, if you are a Paranormal Reserve fan, you've got to have these collector's editions. 508-996-0500. We were talking in the first hour. I had mentioned the person who was arrested. I don't want to say outside of the, but in the vicinity of the Trump rally, trying to get through to the Trump rally at Coachella on Saturday. And he had guns in the car, unlicensed guns. He had a fake registration and license plate. He claimed to be a journalist and a 100% a Trump supporter, and said that he always travels with these guns. And that he had no intention of harming the president. But this is, you know, the concern now. He should have known better if he wasn't trying to cause harm. Why would you think that you could get close to a presidential rally of a man who has had already been shot at once and could have been shot at a second time, and you're going to just pull up with guns in the car? A very suspicious car with fake plates, fake registration? You do realize that all signs point to you having nefarious intentions, no matter what you say. So there's that. Then there's also this local story in Hanson where a resident is shining a pro-Trump message on the side of the town's water tower, and the town is fining that person $100 a day and trying to flush it out with a spotlight, which I guess isn't really working 100% either. Like, you can still make it out. That's what's going on in the town of Hanson. They've got police resources dedicated to shining a spotlight on the water tower to wash out a Trump message, which they have to do because you can't use town property for political campaigning. If they allowed this to go on, well, then they'd have to allow somebody that wanted to put a message up for Kamala Harris, and then maybe somebody wants to put it up for another candidate. Maybe somebody wants to do it for the local election. Maybe somebody wants to do it for, you know, a nonprofit. Maybe somebody wants to do it for their business. How do you stop anybody from doing it if you let one person do it? So that's why those rules exist. That's why those laws exist. But certainly the person who is shining it up there can't be hard to find, right? And just go and I'm sure they've spoken to them by now. This story broke on Friday. But if they're going to keep doing it, because they're willing to pay the $100 a day, what can you do about that? You can keep spending resources and time and energy trying to white it out, wash it out with a spotlight. But you can't arrest the person. It's not an arrestable offense. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, you know, maybe the person will just stop shining it because they got their point across. Maybe they're willing to keep going as long as it takes. Maybe they'll go all the way until election day. But it's still wrong. And I'd say the same thing if they were doing it with a Kamala Harris message. Doesn't belong on the town's water tower. 508-996-0500. Gonna take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. It's starting to get a little bit lighter outside, but it still looks like it might be, what, sprinkling a bit? It's definitely misty out. So keep that in mind if you are heading out for the morning. If you have to go to work, sorry. I tried to talk to your boss and get you the day off because it's a holiday, but no can do, I guess. But I'm here too, so don't feel bad. I'm here. Chris will be here. Barry is off today. He used one of his vacation days smartly. He used one of his floating holidays. Good thinking, Barry. But Brian Thomas will be in for him later on as well. So we've got a full day of local programming for you. Also, I have a few discussions I'd like to play for you this morning with some of the great folks involved in local nonprofits. And this is thanks to our friends at South Coast Health. It is the South Coast Health Community Spotlight, allowing us to shine the spotlight on some local organizations. So let's do that right now.
Good morning. My name is Courtney Maddow, and I am with Community Counseling of Bristol County.
And what exactly is it that you do there?
Community Counseling, or CCBC for short, is one of the community behavioral health centers here in Massachusetts. So in the Southeast, we are in Taunton, 1 Washington Street, and you can walk in same day or next day service for counseling support, help with medication, short-term case management, or some of our specialty services like help getting into housing.
And, this is a topic that has been a huge discussion point on this show and on the other shows here on WBSM. A lot of people are having housing issues, and a lot of people don't really understand what help is out there for them.
Indeed. It's an unfortunate, very complicated process. So the hope is all you need to do is place a phone call to us or walk in. Let us know what you're looking for or what some of your hurdles are, and we'll do the work. We'll do the digging to figure out what you're qualified for or what the first steps would be to start getting you down that process and into a house situation.
What are some of the things that people don't realize about this process? What are some of the things that, I'm assuming that because it's so overwhelming for them that they're coming at you from a place of just they need to be guided in the right way, but they're also, you've got to kind of talk them down from whatever it is that they're already got going on in their head.
It's absolutely a maze. It's very complicated, but the hope is that we can make it easy for folks. And sometimes, whether it's helping them get through sobriety, helping them get more regulated and established or connected to small employment, or even working with their healthcare coverage for some of the benefits or grants that there might be, we try to take that very complicated maze and streamline it and make it easy so we can lay out those options for you to pick what you want to do next.
And you're helping them, it's going to be different from person to person. You're helping them kind of personalize that path for themselves.
Absolutely. Depending on where a person calls home or what age they are, what services they already have, or what they're willing to work on, all the options vary.
Are there things that you wish that you could be working on, areas that you want to be able to help people in that you're just not quite there yet, or?
I think it's really just that there is no waiting. You don't have to get to a certain point where your situation is so bad that then you call for help. Oftentimes, these processes take time. Mm-hmm. So don't wait. Pick up the phone, give a call, or walk on in. Worst case scenario, we give you some options. You don't need us right away and you leave, but you know where to go to get the help.
But I think that's kind of human nature in a lot of people's mind is to, try and do everything for themselves as they can, as much as they can. And then it's hard for people to admit that they need help.
Absolutely. We see it every day. Our crisis department folks often get to the point where they've felt like they've lost almost everything. And they're at the point where they literally have no options. And as a provider, that's sort of in the back of your mind. It's, I wish I met you a little while ago. I wish I met you sooner just so that we could help before it got to such a dire point.
But also dire doesn't mean hopeless.
Absolutely.
So if people are looking for help and they do need services, how can they reach out?
So again, our Taunton office, it's 1 Washington Street in Taunton, Mass. And our phone number, 508-828-9116. We're open 7 days a week. So Monday through Friday, you can find us 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5.
So what if folks are actually without a place to live right now? What can they do?
So they can reach out directly to our coordinated entry line. Our number is 508-501-0900, and they'll start the steps to get them into housing.
I want to thank you for coming in. And that is the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We'll play a couple more of those before the end of the morning. But housing is a huge issue. We have seen plans put into place to try to combat that, both at the local level, the state level, and even at the federal level. And I think that you are dealing with something that was a long time coming. So people look at this and they say, well, the migrants coming in are causing these housing issues, partially. But the bigger problem here, too, is that we don't have enough available housing for the people that want to live on their own. So what we have now is we have more folks looking for a first place to live on their own than before. We have more people who are looking for an affordable place to live as rents have gotten out of control. It's a what's the word I'm looking for? a compounding of a variety of different factors. So whereas, you know, some kids might have said, well, you know, I want to live at home with my parents for a few years more because the economy is bad and now is not a great time to move out on my own. And they might have felt that way 3 years ago. Now they're saying, you know what, it's not getting any better. I better just make the move. I went through that when I was 23, I think. I moved out on my own. Because I was like, well, I'm going to stay here until I finish college. I was commuting to UMass Dartmouth. And then I ended up working two jobs, pretty much almost full-time hours at both. And I said, well, there's really no point in getting a place if I'm never home. I can keep crashing here and, you know, having a roof over my head and save up some money and my mom will do my laundry. But then it eventually just got to the point where I said, I've got to just get out of here. I've got to have my own space. So that's what I think a lot of people are getting to. They wanted to wait. They wanted to see if the housing market would change and they were going to buy a house. And now they're noticing that while it's changing a little bit, prices might be coming down in some cases. They're also still battling people who are willing to pay well over asking price to be able to get these homes. So they're like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to buy a house then. So I might as well just go rent a place. So it's a variety of different factors that's causing this. But the biggest problem is we never really planned for all of this. Like, yeah, everybody in the world should have a roof over their heads. But it's easy to say that in theory than it is in practice. The biggest problem, I think, is the fact that rents are so high. And they're not going to come down. That's the thing. There's no course correction here. If you're paying $1,400 a month for a one-bedroom apartment, you're not suddenly going to start paying $1,200 a month because the economy gets better. The price is what it is, and it's not going to change. Nobody's going down on their prices, which you've got places that are actually going unfilled because people can't afford the prices. But those prices aren't going to change. They're just going to wait until people rebound a little bit better economically to fill up those spaces. That's why if you've got a landlord that is cognizant of the fact that you are not able to afford these prices and likes you as a tenant, you know, they're going to be working with you to make sure that you can stay, because what's the point of them kicking you out at $1,000 a month to bring in somebody that's going to pay $1,500 a month if they can't find somebody that's willing to rent that place for $1,500? Smart landlords are sticking with it. Sticking with the people that are good tenants. People who are just seeing the dollar signs are throwing people out and saying, well, you know, there's people looking for a place to live. But then they don't realize that that's not the place that people want to live. They want to live somewhere where there's parking or where they have a yard or where they're close to other amenities or whatever. So I don't know what the solution is. There is no one answer to it all. It has to be a system of solutions. Which is why the city put out its plan. That will certainly help, but it's going to take a lot of other factors as well. So I'd say to people, if you've got an affordable rent in a place that you don't mind living, hang on to it. And if you're a landlord and you've got good tenants, hang on to them. Just because somebody can pay $500 a month more than what your current resident is paying doesn't mean they're going to be a better tenant. Especially when they're going to want more for their money. I mean, ask my landlords, the landlords I've had over the years. I never call them for anything. I had a gaping hole in the floor of the first house that I rented. In the bathroom. Underneath the bathtub was just rotting out, and it was a hole that went right down into the crawl space underneath. And I didn't call the landlord and tell him about it. The next time he called me to say he was going to raise the rent, I was like, oh, by the way, there's also a hole in the bathroom floor if you can maybe get that fixed. That'd be great. I still remember that conversation too, when he's like, going up on your rent. Okay, I was paying $650 a month for a two-bedroom house, on, not on the beach, but in Swiss Beach, about a five-minute walk from the beach. It was the first place I ever lived, $650 a month, two bedrooms, backyard, not a big backyard, but a little space. You know, a little postage stamp yard, they call it. But I had this big tree that just dropped things everywhere, so nobody ever really wanted to go in the backyard. It's all right. We had a short walk to a playground for my son, laundromat, little convenience store. It was a great little neighborhood to live in. Nice neighbors who would live there forever. When my son was born, they all came over and brought gifts, and like, they were just really good people. Went from $650 to $750. Then when I moved to my second house, because the landlord's son wanted to move in, that landlord was like, oh, you're only paying $750. I don't know if you can afford to pay the $950 I'm looking to get for this two-bedroom house with a big backyard on a private, on a pond in a private neighborhood. I was like, I can swing it. But you tell that to somebody now who's paying $2,000 a month for a two-bedroom apartment in a bad neighborhood on the third floor with nowhere to park. And they're like, yeah, okay, boomer. 508-996-0500. The rain is coming down now, so if you're heading out, grab an umbrella. It is torrential rain right now in Fairhaven. Go take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And I'll tell you what, anybody that thinks that the Patriots are exactly the same as they used to be because they lost a fifth straight game, because they were blown out on their home field, because Drake May couldn't get enough protection to really get things done, you might think that, yeah, the Patriots are exactly the same as they used to be, but they're not. This is a team that's on the rise now. May played very well, despite the challenges around him and the fact that it was his first NFL start. There was a lot of positives to come away with in that game, including his, that first touchdown pass that he threw, his first NFL touchdown, was just a thing of beauty. A 40-yard pass to Keyshawn Booty that was just amazing. And I think you're going to get more of that in the future than you're going to get some of the mistakes that happen. You know, those are just the growing pains that happen with a young quarterback. Those are growing pains that would have happened in the first couple of games if he had started the whole season. Now, if they can fix the offensive line, which is a big task to do in the middle of the season, you could see even more. But, I mean, he showed toughness. He showed high football IQ. There were some dumb mistakes too, but that, again, that comes with the territory of a rookie quarterback for the most part. Not everybody. Not everybody can be Jaden Daniels. But sometimes you have people who are, you know, just extra special. I think what you saw yesterday was what you would expect from a first-time starter with a team around him that isn't super talented. Now what can they do when they go across the pond? Because this coming Sunday, the Patriots are in London to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars at Wembley Stadium. Kickoff is at 9:30 a.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 6:30 a.m. So you're going to want to get up super early for that game if you want to start with the pregame here on WBSM, 6:30. And then the game starts at 9:30. The New England Patriots all season long right here on WBSM. Remember, if you want to hear our regular programming, if you want to hear Town Square Sunday, if you want to hear Power of Life and Retirement Factory and all those Sunday programs that you're used to hearing, you can hear those on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And then you'll hear the game on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. So you have options on a Sunday morning. I probably won't get to hear either of those because I am definitely going to be sleeping in after a spooky Santa. Although I'm staying at the Daniel Webster Inn, so I think I'll probably have to get up and check out by 11 a.m. And I think because the restaurant had a fire, I don't think that they'll be serving breakfast in the morning. But that's all right. There's plenty of places to go for breakfast around there. But I do love the breakfast at the Daniel Webster Inn. But if you want to take part in that event, we are doing it. They are doing a buffet dinner. They're just cooking it offsite and bringing it over to the inn. We'll have a buffet dinner and then hours of ghost hunting at the old town hall, the town hall annex, and at the inn itself. Spooky sandwich. You can get your tickets from the Sandwich Chamber of Commerce or just go to tinyurl.com/spooky sandwich and hopefully we'll see you there. So I guess Tuesday is the cutoff to buy tickets because they have to give a food count to the inn. But I'm going to talk to the chamber and see if maybe there isn't a package we can put together where people can still sign up even if they're not going to be able to get the dinner. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Where can I see a schedule of where you go to do talks for Halloween season?
So I'm trying to put together a website, but I haven't done it yet. But I do put them up on my Facebook page, which is, you can go to facebook.com/weirdweisberg. That's probably the easiest place.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one. And again, I'll be at the New Bedford Public Library Wednesday night. So if you want to come Wednesday night, I will be there at 7 p.m. talking about how modern-day ghost hunting is really just modern-day spiritualism. So kind of the history of ghost hunting going back to 1849 all the way to today. Should be a really fun presentation. The only time I've ever done it before was at a paranormal convention, and it was pretty well-received. So hopefully people who are not in the paranormal will feel the same way. But that'll be Wednesday at 7, and then I'll be in Worcester at 6 p.m. at the Worcester Common for the Movies in the Park on Thursday. Then next Wednesday, I'm at the Millicent Library, 6:30 p.m., Ghosts of the South Coast. And then on the 26th, I'm at the Freetown Police Department Community Room to talk about haunted objects. So those are my local ones. All right. Got to take one final break here for the hour. We'll be right back.
Monopoly 21, checkers and chess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's play Twister.